Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Today I am joined by Pastor Neil Radical and by Vicar Drew Nauman, and today we'll be beginning with a devotion based on James chapter 1.
James chapter 1 is a wonderful letter to read through, a lot of great application. You know, you read through this whole letter, and James is pretty harsh with his listeners on the one side, but he is also very encouraging in the same time. He's trying to direct them. You use that word exhort, the idea of lift up with that specific direction. And in the two verses we're looking at today from James chapter 1, you see the exhortation from James about no matter what they're facing, to continue to have joy in Christ. And so that's something that we thought would be very applicable for today. So James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. I think when he's talking again about brothers, he's reminding them that, okay, no matter what you're facing, you think about, Aaron and I were just talking about this the other night. We think about what we're going through with the COVID stuff right now, whether it be quarantines or the sicknesses or the political unrest or whatever it might be. You know, we still don't have it as bad as what they did at James' time either. We started reading this the other night, and it's interesting to think about, you know, the Christians in those days were literally being put to death for their faith. And so this really has a very heavy impact on the Christian's life when they consider what James is saying to them. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. That could be persecutions. That could be physical health problems and sufferings. That could be natural disasters. That could be government bearing down on them, whether it be the Romans or anyone else. But then he goes on to explain why we can be joyful, which I think is really important. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Depending on how you translate that last word there, perseverance, the idea of testing is not the idea of temptation, but when we're tempted to doubt, that's where the Lord tests our faith, to persevere, to be steadfast, to have a strong faith, which can give us joy because we have that confidence in the Lord, that we are thankful that he is with us, that he continues to meet us in those trials and carries us through them. And so I guess I want to ask both of you guys, when you think of this testing of your faith, what's the first thing that comes to your mind, whether it be in the biblical lives of Christians or in our modern day lives of Christians? Either one of you could pick one of those two things if you want.
I think that especially, I just did a presentation that kind of circles around this sort of theme. I think as it applies to our modern day lives, the old adage goes, steel is forged in fire. And that's true with faith as well. Our sinful flesh, our old Adam, kind of tends to want to think along the lines of the Jews of Jesus' day who asked concerning the blind man, did this man or his parents sin that he was born blind? We think of bad things and trials as taking place as a punishment for our transgressions. And in fact, God uses these trials to strengthen us in our faith and works all things for our good. So I always kind of try to think of it in that respect. He says also, or Peter says in his first epistle, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. So not only that, these trials and these tests that God sends our way bring us closer to him and strengthen our faith, we should also be cognizant of the attitude we have towards those. And we shouldn't be shocked or surprised when they do come. And we should, even more so, we should be joyful, like it says here in James, because these are tools which the Lord is using to strengthen our faith and to bolster us through those hardships so that we are drawn closer to him and learn more and more to rely on his grace and his unending love towards us to lead us through whatever hardship he places in our path, knowing that he's already overcome the greatest hardship in our lives. That is the problem of sin, which he did away with by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. So knowing that he has delivered us from that trial, how shall he not also with his son Jesus give us all things and deliver us from these lesser, although they can still be very trying, hardships?
I kind of think of it, you know, in terms of, I have two little kids, and, you know, for them, the toughest thing that happens to them all day is when their sister steals their toy or their brother knocks down their tower. And for them, that's the end of the world, right? You know, for them, that's a tough test, and they're, you know, there's tears and crying. And, but what happens is as you grow up, and this happens to all of us, as you grow up, you go through tougher and tougher tests. You know, is God really working all things together good? Is, are all these things truly going to come together as God intends? And that's what faith is all about. Faith is not for the easy times. Faith is there for the hard times. Faith is what gets us through the difficult challenges in life. And God, throughout our earthly lives, is continually testing us, not just to see, well, do you really love me enough, but in order to build us up so that we can handle the next test. You know, this is, it's an ongoing thing in life, and God is constantly leading us to finally that last test, which is the test that leads to everlasting life. You know, the end of our life here on this earth, that's the final test. I mean, that's the end of semester exam, if you will, is as you are facing, you know, as you're lying in that hospital bed, as you're facing your own demise of this earth from this earth, do you still trust in the Lord? And every step along the way of your life, God has given you these tests in order to strengthen your trust in him, because, you know, there's nothing like getting laid down on your back and, you know, getting knocked over and being completely helpless, like a virus will do, to help you to realize, boy, I can't rely on myself. I can't even rely on doctors. There's only one person that I can completely and truly trust and rely on. And that's God. And that's the steadfastness he talks about. Not our own ability to withstand any test that comes our way, but recognizing that it's only when we stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ, standing in the promises that our God gives us, that's the steadfastness that's important. And that's the steadfastness that will allow us to meet whatever trial we may face in life, whether things do escalate to the point you were talking about before, Pastor Radical, about you know, governments persecuting and Christians. And you know, you think back to James Day again, you know, Christians being thrown into the lions and things like that. You know, God forbid that ever would happen to us, but I know God would give you and me and all of his people the faith to withstand those trials if that should arise, because every test, every step in our journey is a part of God's goal for us, to lead us to that everlasting life in heaven. And ultimately that's how he does that, by delivering us from this body of evil.
Well said, brothers. James kind of wraps this up too with in verse 12, where he says this: these thoughts, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. As you both summarize with what our focus is on our eternal life, looking through those trials and tests to be with our Lord and Savior forever. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we read through James, help us to remember that you put our faith into action for your purpose, for your glorification, so that we continue to praise your name and bear witness of your truth and your light throughout this dark world. Help us to be joyful for this opportunity, that we would be count worthy to suffer for your name, if that would be the case, Lord, and that we continue to honor and glorify your saving name with our lips, with our heart, with our soul. Lord, until you come to take us home to be with you forever, be merciful to us, strengthen us, help us to pray for our family, friends, neighbors, and nation, and throughout all the world, so that your gospel will continue to be spread joyfully as we carry your cross for your glory. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Radical. A couple of announcements as we continue on with our podcast here. Once again, we'll pick it up tonight with our online Bible study, continuing through the book of Hosea. So that's at 7 p.m. tonight. You can look for an email coming out later that will have the link to that Zoom meeting. Drew, any preview for us regarding our Bible study this evening?
Well, we're going to be coming down the home stretch here. I don't know if we're going to quite get done with what remains of Hosea tonight, But probably in the next couple of weeks here, we'll be wrapping it up. So if you got a little bit bummed out by all the judgment and the bad things that were spoken of by Hosea towards the people of Israel, now we're going to kind of get into some of the more happier motifs of repentance and deliverance and God's grace. So if you were there for the first part, you definitely don't want to miss the last part. And if you weren't there for the first part, you still want to hear the last part because it's a lot of great gospel.
All right. Looking forward to hearing your presentation of that this evening. Coming up, not next week, but the week after that, we are beginning our school year here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School. So the school year will begin on August 31st, which is 1 week later than originally planned, obviously with some of the things going on regarding COVID and especially with the gym floor buckling and preparing for classes. We decided to push school back for a week. Quite a few steps are being taken. I've had a number of questions from members about what kind of precautions are being taken at the school. So there is obviously a mask mandate in place from Governor Walz, and we will be abiding by that mask mandate. And there's an entire COVID preparedness plan that is being finalized by the Board of Education and the faculty. And it'll be available on our website, the Emmanuel Mankato School website as well. But basically what's going to happen is there's going to be social distancing practiced. Normally we put the first and second grade in a room and the third and fourth grade in a room and the fifth and sixth grade in a room. But now this year we are bringing on extra time for our aides and teachers in order that we can have one class per classroom. So first grade will have its own room and second grade will have its own room and third grade will have its own room for the beginning of the year at least. And we're planning on putting 11th and 12th grade in the church narthex. 9th and 10th grade will be in the church basement. We're figuring out how the gym floor is going to work with 7th and 8th grade, God willing. So with all these things, we are taking many precautions. We're being very careful. We have some touchless temperature takers for when the kids come in school at the beginning of the day. So there's quite a bit of detail. I'm not going to get into all of it right now, but just so all of our listeners are aware, there's a lot of thought and careful attention to detail being deliberated during this time. And it's something we're being very careful about as we come back to in-person classes. And, you know, obviously we ultimately put our trust in the Lord and know that he's going to guide and protect us during this time as well. And we trust in him to bless the effective preaching of his word, knowing that it does not return to him void, but will accomplish the purpose for which he sends it. Kind of touching on some of the thoughts of our devotion earlier today, we've have a couple individuals on our prayer list from last week who have gone to be with the Lord. Robert Heinze passed away last week. We'll be having a funeral service for him coming up tomorrow. That'd be Thursday, August 20th at 10 a.m. at church. I'll be officiating that service. Also, just found out this morning, our sister in Christ, Evelyn Hoffman, passed away. We'll be doing a service for her up at Woodland Hills on Friday at 10 a.m. as well. Certainly a joy that these two wonderful Christian individuals are now in heaven with the Lord and experiencing their first days and hours of peace in eternal peace in Christ. Also on our prayer list, we continue to keep Pastor Eichsted in our prayers. He had that situation with an infection in his leg that ended up canceling services last week, and he's home from the hospital now. And we pray that he and his family, that they would recover from this quickly and then that things can return back to normal for them. And kind of in connection with all this, we want to continue to remind our listeners, you know, as during this time of the virus and COVID, we are largely unable to find out who's in the hospital because of certain HIPAA rules. If you end up in the hospital, we can't know about it unless someone tells us. And so it's really important for this communication to take place that you can fill us in and let us know if a loved one or someone you know is in the hospital and needs attention. We're not allowed in there unless it's end of life situation, but we can certainly and have made many phone calls up into the hospital with different members. So please, you know, let us know. And we really want to the best we can serve spiritually through the phone. Obviously, we'd love to be up there in person, but during this time, that's not allowed. So please keep those lines of communication over. And this brings us to now our doctrine of the day. What we have listed down here for today is time of grace. So I'll ask my fellow pastor and vicar here, when you hear time of grace, what does that bring you to in the Bible, or what thoughts come to your mind immediately?
I always come back to Psalm 90. You know, sometimes when the Lord calls a younger person or even a little child from this world, you know, we're always tempted to think, well, they were cheated out on their long life, you know, and the Lord does talk about that through Moses in Psalm 90, where Moses, who lived to be, you know, 120 years old, he talks about the length of our days being 70 years or 80, where we get that whole 4 score and 10 or 3 score and 10, you know, depending on what you're looking at there. And then that idea of, you know, Lord teaching us to number our days, you know, time of grace is, it's God's time. That's why we don't want to take our lives into our own hands, because it's the Lord who gives, the Lord who takes away. We bless the name of the Lord. So whenever I try to explain time of grace, I would just say it's got the time in which God has blessed us here on earth to serve him. And so it's his time. We are stewards of his time. And so we live in his state of grace, and we continue to serve him out of joy, like we just talked about with James today, in that grace as well.
Yeah, I'm glad that you went to the Psalms there. My my brain also goes to the Psalms, Psalm 31, where I believe David writes, "My times are in your hand." So right along that same vein, that we try to quantify the value of our lives in the things that we have, and the things that we've seen, the things that we do, and the relationships we cultivate. But actually, none of that is ours. Like you said, it's all of it belongs to God. And if the underlying purpose of those things that God has given us, those relationships that God has allowed to form in our lives, if the underlying purpose of those is not to serve the Lord and to proclaim his gospel, then that's a terrible misuse of the time that God has given us. And that's not to say that the that only Christians are allotted a time of grace. Each person has a time of grace in which they are given the opportunity to come to faith, and that God wants them, God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So the idea being that on the last day, no man is without excuse. Everyone's going to have to give an answer for the deeds that they've committed and the things that they've said and the things that they've done. And if it wasn't for God, by that faith being worked in their heart through the Holy Spirit, they're not going to have an excuse. God gives everyone that time of grace. And unfortunately, there are a lot of ways in which human beings try to mess with that and really cut short different people's times of grace, whether that be through murder or abortion or this growing, I didn't even really know this was a thing until a couple of years ago, but euthanasia, human euthanasia, where people will decide that, well, my life's not worth living anymore, and pull their own plug, so to speak. So that's not a power that God gives human beings to decide how much time they have. That's something that is left in God's hands alone. Jesus' words in Matthew 10, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are numbered." So God knows every single hair that is on your head. "Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." So we're so important to God that he sent his own son to die on the cross. He knows everything about us, right down to the very hairs on our head. And he knows exactly how many days, how many hours, how many minutes, and how many seconds are given us in that time of grace. And so we should be diligent in utilizing those to the best of the ability God has given us.
Yeah, you know, I always think time is you know, one of the greatest gifts God gives to us, and yet it's something we take for granted. You know, my time is my own, you know, is a common phrase that we think, boy, I get to do whatever I want with my time. But it's a reminder, like you said, we, you know, don't you know you're not your own? You know, you belong to the Holy Spirit. We were purchased at a price. And the time that God gives us is precious. And so, you know, it's important for us and for everyone to evaluate, you know, how am I using my time? Am I spending hours and hours pouring, you know, in on things that are not godly, things that are not productive, things that are not, you know, worthy of my of the attention I'm giving them. You know, obviously we all have hobbies and things, but you know, those things can overshadow our spiritual life if we allow them to, and that's something that we need to be careful about. And the last thing, you know that the reason we call it time of grace, you know, grace is God's undeserved love towards us, and this is what why God gives us this time on earth, is to come into contact with grace, so that the undeserved love of God can be poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, so that he can work that faith in our hearts, that trust in him that leads to everlasting life. You know, that grace is the gift that God gives to us. And that, you know, that's why this doctrine so often comes up in connection with the fifth commandment, like you brought out there, Drew, with topics like abortion, euthanasia. You know, God tells us you shall not murder. That's because the gift that God gives to all human beings is the gift of life. You know, we can think of the Bill of Rights. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that God has given to us life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and we can debate some of those later ones. But certainly life is a gift that God has given to every human being. No human baby is conceived or born without the hand of God present in that life. And it's a gift that God and God alone gives. And so for any of us to cut short that life, whether it be through something like abortion, euthanasia, or murder, you know, obviously it is interfering with something that only God controls. It's also something, you know, this when it comes out to this topic, you know, it's something I touch with people a lot, especially when people are in end of life situations. You know, I've had conversations with members before who wonder about, boy, should we try to do comfort care? Should we give drugs to our parent, even though this may result in end of life situations? And you know, I always encourage people, pray about it, make the best decision you're able to, and trust that, you know, like you said there, Drew, these things are out of our control. If I think, well, I'm going to give dad some morphine and maybe that's what killed him, we're taking too much power in ourselves. We don't have the power and authority to make those decisions. God is the one in control. And if we think we gave him morphine and that resulted in the end, that we're thinking too highly of ourselves. God is the one who's in control of all these things. And he is the one who decides when our time of grace is over and when he's ready to take us home, as is the case with Evelyn this morning and Robert last week. That's when our time is up. And that's when, you know, blessedly for those two, they are now with the Lord in heaven, and we'll spend all eternity with him there. Any final thoughts on time of grace there, gentlemen?
No, I think you covered it. It's good.
Awesome. Drew picked out a hymn for us to close with today. Drew, would you like to introduce that?
Sure. So the hymn that we'll close with today is "Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me?" I'd like to draw our attention to the author for a second, Paul Gerhardt, probably one of the more well-known hymnists in our old TLH Lutheran hymnal. He was a German minister during and towards the tail end of the 30 Years' War. And the fact that this guy should be writing a hymn called "Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me?" is pretty significant, because he did have a lot of crosses and trials in our life. As a pastor, he was burying a lot of parishioners towards the tail end of that war. Four of his five children died young, and still he goes and writes, you know, "Why should cross and trial grieve me?" Even though God is bringing these hardships into my life, even though his parishioners and his children were dying, he had that confidence by faith that death wasn't the end. Death was merely the beginning of eternal life, and that God was delivering each of those souls to eternal bliss in heaven. So we kind of, as we read through this, hopefully we can take some time to reflect on what is our attitude towards these crosses and these trials, especially when death is involved. Should we be dour and downcast and, you know, what hope is there? Everyone's dying. Or should we place our confidence in the Lord, knowing that he works all things for good? Even now that Jesus has conquered death, now death for us is merely a portal to everlasting life. So he even turns that around and works it for our eternal good. So a few verses here. Why should cross and trial grieve me? Christ is near with his cheer. Never will he leave me. Who can rob me of the heaven that God's Son for my own to my faith hath given? Death cannot destroy forever. From our fears, cares, and tears, it will us deliver. It will close life's mournful story, make a way that we may enter heavenly glory. Lord, my shepherd, take me to thee. Thou art mine, I was thine, even ere I knew thee. I am thine, for thou hast bought me. Lost I stood, but thy blood free salvation brought me. Thou art mine, I love and own thee. Light of joy, ne'er shall I from my heart dethrone thee. Savior, let me soon behold thee face to face. May thy grace evermore enfold me. Amen.
Thank you very much for joining us for Twin Steeples Podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church. It is a weekly podcast that comes out on Wednesday around noon, talking about the ongoing activities of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.